good day, everyone. Welcome again to the Wings Radio program, where we hope you will be uplifted and encouraged by what you hear. We want to inspire you through Christ to fly in the power of God's Word to the challenging times in your lives. Be sure to visit the blog page for prophetic words, updates, and godly inspiration at www.wingsofprophecy.com. Now here is your host, Glenda Linkus.
Hello, believers. Welcome to the Wings Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Linkus, and today we're going to do part two of Is Your Giving Working? Last week in part one, we talked about tithing. We're going to talk about other types of giving this time. Before we start, I want to repeat something that I said in last week's show. Until you tithe, none of these other types of giving are really going to do anything for you much, okay? And I am not doing this series on giving so you will give to this ministry. I'm doing these because the Lord showed me that this was something that the body of Christ needed. And I also was seeking more understanding after he brought that question up in my spirit. Okay, so we're going to start this week talking about first fruits. And the first fruit offering, there are 30 references to it in the King James Version Bible. This is a category of giving I've never understood well. So I was real happy that the Lord showed me that it was important. Deuteronomy 26:10 says, "And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land, which thou, O Lord, hast given me. And thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God, and worship before the Lord thy God." Nehemiah 10:35 says, "And to bring the first fruits of our ground, and the first fruits of all fruit of all trees, year by year, unto the house of the Lord." Proverbs 3:9, "Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase." And 3:10, "So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." Ezekiel 44:30, "And the first of all the first fruits of all things, in every oblation of all, of every sort of your oblations, shall be the priest. You shall also give unto the priest the first of your dough, that he may cause the blessing to rest in thine house." The word house in this verse, I was very excited to find this, literally means house, home, and family. Could this be the reason why so many Christian homes and families are not as blessed as they could be? Okay, let me explain something. In America, we operate on the Gregorian or Western calendar system. Our year starts on January 1st and ends on December 31st. Our first fruits offering should be given on the first increase we receive after January 1st. Now, an increase is an increase over what you were getting last year. And this type of increase is an ongoing increase, okay? So like a raise, or if you're a contractor and you raise your prices, that's an increase, okay? If, let's say that at the beginning of the year, let's say that last year I was making $100 a week, okay? Let's say that in February, let's say I get a raise to $120 a week, okay? Then that $20 that I get a week, that $20 is my increase, okay? So that whole $20, the first time I get it, would be my first fruits offering. Okay, does that make sense? It's first fruit is something that's continual. It's an ongoing increase. It's not something where you get something one time. It's an ongoing increase. It's a raise of some type in your income. It is an increase over what you were getting the year before. So that doesn't mean your paycheck, but like if you get a raise in your pay. Okay, this is an offering you give once after the first of year on that increase, and you give the whole amount of the increase, okay, because that's the first fruit. It's the first time you got it. And you might think, well, what if I need that $20? Well, think of it this way. You were doing without the $20 before God was graceful to you and gave you that raise, right? Okay. Now, and you don't have to do any of this stuff. It's up to you if you want to be this blessed. I want every blessing, so I'm going to do all of it. If you don't want your money blessed and you don't want the devil rebuked from your stuff, don't tithe, don't give, don't do anything. It's up to you. The first fruits offering shows God that you appreciate the increases He is giving you and that He can trust you to obey His word if He gives you more, which He will if you're obeying. Okay? Now, where do we give it? Exodus 23:19 says, "The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God." Okay? The house of the Lord would be basically your church or ministry. Now, this one you actually have a choice. It's the only one that I found where you do on this. Leviticus 23:10, "Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when you become into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest." I believe that you can give a first fruit to a ministry or to a preacher. So if you know some little pastor somewhere, you go to some little tiny church where the pastor can't even afford to buy new socks, that'd be a good place to take a first fruits. Okay? Now listen to this. Ezekiel 44:30. "And the first of all the first fruits of all things, and every oblation of all," I believe I looked up oblation, I think it was like a wave offering, "of every sort of your oblation shall be the priest. You shall also give unto the priest the first of your dough, that he may cause the blessing to rest in thine house." Did you get that? Now, we know that word house means house, home, and family. "That he may cause the blessing to rest in your house." Apparently, a priest can pray over a first fruits offering and cause the blessing to rest in your house. And by priest, I mean a preacher of the word. I thought that was pretty awesome. So, I believe it's scriptural to give your first fruits offerings to either a church or a ministry or a minister. You get to choose on that one. So, remember that, though, that the blessing may rest in your house. That's a huge, huge blessing on that kind of giving. What we want to do in this series is we want to understand what God has told us to do regarding giving, and we want to understand what are the rewards of those kind of giving, and that way we can put our faith out there when we give, because God wants to bring you rewards and blessings. Let's give Him a reason to. And just so you know, that's also a New Testament thing. Romans 11:16 says, "For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches." We are the branches, y'all. We're the branches. Okay, now this one is going to get really interesting. Y'all are going to like this. Let's talk about almsgiving. There are 14 references to alms in the King James. They're all in the New Testament. So it's clearly something that we're supposed to be doing that the Lord wants us to do. Matthew 6:1-4. "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly." Okay, it's very clear from all these verses that God wants us to do our almsgiving in secret. That's one thing to remember about doing your almsgiving. Now, why would He want you to do it in secret? Almsgiving means to give to the poor. It means to help someone who's in need, okay? And almsgiving is done out of compassion. We feel for their lack, and so we help them so that they can not be in so much need. Now, why would we want to do that in secret? Could it be so that we would not humiliate the person who's in need? I think that that may be why. Okay. Alms literally means compassion towards the poor. Alms is the only form of giving that does not go to a church, a ministry, a minister, or a priest. You can actually give alms directly to the poor and needy. Okay, now, how many of you have ever taken part of your tithes and given it to someone in need? I have done this years ago. I did it quite frequently, I think. Did you know you have to do your tithe first? Your tithe is the most important part of your giving. Until you get your tithe, your one-tenth given, don't even think about doing your other giving, because that's God's money. And if you hold on to that, your money's already cursed. And giving alms or anything else is not going to really help you much. Okay? I remember specific instances of doing this, of giving to the needy, and thinking that it was okay, because I figured that was God's work, right? And I've had people ask me, hey, can I just take my tithe and give it to my needy grandmother? You know, she's really in need, or, you know, I have a widowed aunt or something like, you know, your widowed aunt or whatever. But here's the thing. We are commanded anyway to take care of our families, okay? You should always take care of your family first. That has nothing to do with your tithe. Your tithe, which is your first priority in giving, if you give it to the poor like that, if you give it to someone as an alms, it becomes an alms. And then that means you didn't do your tithe. Okay? I know, I was shocked too. So, you know what that means? Are you sitting down? God is now prevented from rebuking the devourer from your family and your stuff, and the windows of heaven that were going to pour you down a blessing just closed because you didn't do your tithe. So that is extremely, extremely important that you understand. The tithe is holy to God. Bring you the whole tithe into the storehouse. That's what the scripture says. Okay, now let's keep going. So let's talk about the promises concerning almsgiving. Alms is over the tithe, okay? The tithe is the first 10%. Luke 11:41, but rather give alms of such things as you have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. That means alms can include more than just money. Alms can be stuff that you have that people need. Maybe you have an extra coat, or you have an extra pair of boots, and someone who's homeless or in need doesn't have those things, and you can share. That's an almsgiving too, and that's okay to do that. You still have to do your tithe, but that you could give alms in this way is what I'm saying. And Luke 12:33 says, sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. And here's something I found that I thought was really cool when I was studying this. Acts 9:36. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation it's called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. Dorcas was raised from the dead, y'all. Y'all remember that? Do you need God to speak life into a dead situation in your life? Could this be the reason there are so many dead situations among Christians? Maybe we're not taking care of the poor like we should? Okay, Acts 10:3-5. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. Acts 10:31. He said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Your alms will create a memorial and actually bring your name up before God. When you need something, when you give to someone out of compassion, when you help the poor and needy, it actually causes your name to come up before God, the creator of heaven and earth. If you feel forgotten by God, could this be why? Have you neglected to show compassion towards the poor? We're extremely blessed, especially here in America. Even in the poorest conditions in America, our conditions are so much better than so many other countries, y'all. Maybe we take that for granted sometimes and we forget how blessed we are and we forget to give enough. I don't know, but we need to think about this because God is very concerned about those in need, about widows, about the fatherless, and we are charged with caring for them. Okay, this is a word for someone who's listening right now, a female. You are debating whether to care for your mother, and the Lord says to you, woman of God, she is a widow in my sight and precious to me. She is my daughter, and I charge you and you alone. He very much emphasized that word alone with her care because I want her cared for by a Christian. You are her daughter. Let this not be a point of debate any longer. I have spoken. I am the Lord. That is exactly how he said that. Okay. And he very specifically said he charges you and you alone. There was other people you wanted to help care for her. He does not want those other people caring for her. Okay, what is the promise of the alms? Proverbs 19:17. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. God will give you back exactly whatever you give to the poor. If you give $5, he's going to give you $5 back. Your money is not lost. It's going to come right back. And I've literally seen that promise happen within 5 minutes of giving to someone when he spoke to me. There's times when God will speak to me and he'll say, I want you to send so-and-so $200 or $300 or something like that. And it'll be somebody that is connected to this ministry or, somebody that I know that follows the ministry. Sometimes it's someone who donates to us. Sometimes it's not. And I'll say, okay, Lord, and I'll just do it. And I'll send it to him. You know, I'll just PayPal to him. And I've seen this happen over and over again. Within 5 minutes, I'll get a PayPal for that exact dollar amount. God's done that so many times. He has shown me the truth of that scripture. Whatever you give in alms, God gives you the same back exactly. And your name will come up before the Lord, and the Lord will speak life to your dead situation or your dead circumstances. But it must be done in secret. You must keep it secret. And I think this is because when you're in need, you know, we don't really want that broadcast everywhere. Oh, I gave so-and-so, you know, however much. Because they, you know, they're about to, you know, they don't have any food. It's humiliating, you know, to be needy. It can be humiliating. So spare them that. Just give where only God knows, because he said to. We don't even have to reason that out. Because he said to is reason enough, isn't it? He said, don't even let your left hand know what your right hand is doing when you give alms. Okay, we got one more type of giving I want to talk about, and that's sowing seed. And this part gets pretty interesting too. We know the parable of the sower. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And he talks about some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground, so, and the sun was up. Some of them fell, you know, on the thorns. And this is talking about the Word of God, okay? Okay, so we know that the seed is the Word of God. But did you know that other things are seeds as well? And here's, I'm going to prove this to you. Galatians 6:7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Okay? And I was praying to God about all this as I was studying it. 2 Corinthians 9:6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Psalm 126:5, I like to pray this over prodigals. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. What I'm trying to show you is that sowing and reaping is a kingdom principle that was given to us for our use, okay? I know for sure it works because of back in 2001, 2002, whenever that was, I was in a terrible financial wilderness. No money. I think I had, and my memory is not always perfect, I think I had about $60 in the bank. And I said, okay, Lord, I don't know what else to do. I've got to have $1,200 in 3 days to pay rent and the utilities, or we're in big trouble. And I said, I'm going to sow a $12 seed, and I'm just going to believe you for a hundredfold return, because I don't know what else to do. I didn't have a job. I'd been looking everywhere. I didn't know what else to do, and I was just desperate. And so I said, where do you want me to sow it? And he told me the name of the ministry, and I said, okay. And I wrote the check, drove to the post office, worshipped, dropped it in the mailbox, worshipped some more, and, you know, in my car, and drove off. And he said, I want you to go and help so-and-so and sow that as a seed. And I said, okay. So I went to this lady's office and did what he said. I was real good at marketing, and she was a mortgage loan officer. And not for long, though. She became a manager right after that. God made her a millionaire in about 2 years after that. But we did a fantastic marketing project that night that was so anointed that other people tried to copy it and nobody else could get the same results. But God really blessed her, because he spoke to her that night when I was about to leave and told her to write me a check. She wrote me a check for just over $1,200, and she didn't know I'd prayed this prayer. She didn't know anything. And she called me in her office as I was leaving, and she said, I don't know what's going on with you, but God just told me to give you this. And she was writing the check. She handed it to me, and I mean, I just about did the happy dance right there in her office. And I don't remember what I told her. I may have told her the whole thing, but he used her, and then he blessed her. Oh, he blessed her. She was driving a Mercedes. She has a house in Highland Park, which Highland Park is the ritzy part of Dallas, the old money, what they call the old money part of Dallas. So God really took care of her, but because she obeyed. Okay, now, the same thing with seeds applies like it does with alms. Until you have tithed, do not try to sow seed. Your almsgiving, your seed sowing starts at 11% because your tithe is the first 10, okay? In Malachi 3:8, remember God said, they said, "Wherein have we robbed thee?" And he said, "In tithes and offerings." Your seed is your offering. When we do not give God our seed offerings above the tithe, we rob him of the chance to bless us mightily and to show off his mighty power in our lives. Seeds must be planted in fertile ground, and you have to keep the weeds away from them if you want them to grow. Weeds are doubt and unbelief, okay? In Mark 4:8, it said others, talking about the seed, fell on good ground and yielded fruit that sprang up and increased 30, 60, and 100 fold. Okay, I believe that the good ground has to do with the integrity of the ministry that you're giving into. If you have any questions about that, or if you're not sure where to sow, ask God, because he will lead you. He'll show you very clearly in your spirit. Now listen to this. Genesis 26:12. I found this when I was studying this. "Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him." He received in the same year. I think this may be an indication that on our seeds, we get a harvest back the same year, and he got 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. So the Lord blessed him on top of the return that he received. We don't give for the purpose of getting a return, but here's the deal. God wants us to live in so much abundance that we have overflow, so we can fund the kingdom, so we can take care of the poor and needy in our family, so that we can give alms and help others and help, you know, build more churches or do whatever's needed. Here's another one I asked him about when I was studying this. Luke 6:38, "Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." And I said, "Lord, what is that same measure? What does that actually mean here in this verse?" And he said, "Those who give fives will get back fives. Those who give tens or hundreds, they will get back tens or hundreds." So it's the measure of what you give. Lord God in heaven, we ask you for wisdom and for knowledge and for understanding, especially understanding, Lord, on how you want us to sow and to give, how you have commanded and ordained that we sow in your holy word. Please give every listener and me, Lord. Give us eyes that see and ears that hear, Lord, for we are willing. Guide us clearly as to how much and where, Lord, each of us. Help us to be cheerful and afraid givers, Lord God, for we want to please you most of all. And we know that everything that we have, we only have it because you gave it to us. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. I hope that this series has been a blessing to you and that it has helped you to understand the different types of giving better. I know studying it helped me understand better in the revelations that God gave me, like the measure and things like that. Helped me to understand, and I'm praying that he will continue to increase our understanding, because like I said, y'all, the unbelievers are not going to fund the end times work of the gospel. We have to. But God will empower us to do that. He will give us the means to do that, and he will bless us as it passes through our hands and goes back into his kingdom. I hope that you are blessed and all your family. Thank you for listening. Have a great week. God bless you.
Thank you so much for tuning in to hear Glenda Linkous on Wings Radio. We hope that you've been encouraged and inspired in your daily walk with Christ. You can find more of Glenda's talks on her YouTube channel, Texas Author and the Number One. You can contact Glenda by email at wingsofprophecy@gmail.com or by mail at Glenda Linkous, P.O. Box 127, Princeton, Texas, 75407. Wings Radio is a non-denominational program and is not affiliated with any other church or nonprofit organization.
Have you ever gone through a period in your life where it felt like someone just yanked the rug out from under you? Or you woke up one day and it felt like your life was just falling apart? Every Christian must pass through the desert on the way to their promised land. This is what I call the wilderness experience. Wilderness experiences are often times of great uncertainty and change. They are also times of great discomfort, where you feel the heat and the pressure are on, and everywhere you turn, it seems like there's no place to run for comfort. The Lord took me in and out of a number of wilderness experiences, and then He had me write a book called The Wilderness Companion. And what it is a roadmap through these desert times in your life. It's kind of a how-to do and don't manual of what He taught me and things He spoke to me during the wilderness times that I went through. Sometimes wilderness times are times of physical challenge where you're ill. Sometimes they are financial challenges. Many of the ones I went through were financial challenges where I had no work and no money. Or times when God just took me out of work and put me in a place where, you know, I couldn't find a job or whatever. But the Wilderness Companion will help you if you are in a wilderness time, or if you want to read the book for in preparations for the next time, to find out why you've been led into the wilderness, find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving the provision you need in the wilderness, because very often wilderness times are times of a lack of provision. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Now, these were revealed to me straight from God. And drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by teaching you how to partner with God for His purposes for you in the desert seasons. This is a book you don't want to miss. The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax is available on Amazon.com or in the Wings of Prophecy bookstore in print form or Kindle version, www.wingsofprophecy.com.
Just how soon will Jesus return? There's a 2,500-year-old prophecy spoken to this generation of Americans that is directly connected to the Second Coming and is happening right now. Learn about it and a whole lot more in my new book, America, Isaiah is Warning, God's Judgment is Coming. Available where books are ordered and at americasjudgment.com. America, Isaiah is Warning.